Guys, if you would, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we're going to be in verse 15 down to verse 43, and in a couple weeks, when we pick this back up, we'll use the introduction to God's law to go through chapter 5. So we're going to be picking up in 15. Beware of idolatry. Take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. And take heed, lest you lift up your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the hosts of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the people under the whole heaven as a heritage. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace of Egypt to be his people, an inheritance as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes and swore I would not cross over the Jordan, that I would not enter the good land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not cross over the Jordan. But you shall cross over and possess the good land. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God which he made with you, and make for yourselves carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire and a jealous God. Remember last week as we started this chapter, after Moses explained how faithful the Lord has been, after Moses has been explaining how he has taken care of these group, as he's taken care of the people of Israel, he has one word for them in chapter 4, really: be obedient. And be the obedient is taking God at his word and walking in those steps in which he's called us to walk, is it not? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, but he answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We are to be living by God's word. We're just not coming here to study the Bible just to have something to do. You know, I pray that the Lord would impart something to each of us. We would take away, we would walk away, we'd be different. We would take some manna. This would be living bread. This just wouldn't be something we're doing, right? So last week, here's just a few points to remember, and then we're going to dive into where we're at tonight. Verse 1 of last week, Moses says, listen. And listen's different than hearing. Hearing can just be performing a function that your ear does, like blinking. Listening is taking some effort. Listening is straining to hear. Listening is taking heed to what he said. So he says, oh, Israel, come in and listen to this thing, right? The second one was Moses said, hey, I want you to keep God's word as it is. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. For us, let's don't look for loopholes. Let's just be obedient and do what it says, right? There are plenty of people out there teaching and taking away from it and adding to it. But also there's plenty of folks, and we've made the same mistake probably as well, to make less of what it says in our lives. And then sometimes we've passed on traditions of men, and that's what they did. That's what the Pharisees did. They added on to the whole thing, right? Number three thing, remember, disobedience always cost on some level. And there are plenty of examples in Scripture. There's plenty of examples in our own lives, probably. There's plenty of examples in the lives around us. We don't have to really be blown away by that one. And then verse 4, it's really most important when it was a simple one. Moses says, I just want you to stay close to the Lord. Just stay close to the Lord, right? Then Moses used some more words last week. He said, take heed to yourselves. Diligently keep yourselves, lest you forget everything that God had done. And then he lists all these things and how they were blessed. He's like, God gave you wisdom. He gave you his word. You heard his voice. You are such a blessed people group. And he's like, I don't want you to forget this. And you know what blew me away when I thought about that? It's like, how on earth could they ever forget God settling down on Mount Sinai and that whole situation? God, how could you forget some of the things that these guys saw? And then the Lord said, you know what? How many times have you forgot some of the things I spoke to you that were just really kind of out of this world, that if you were to share with anybody, they'd think you were just an idiot? And you're like, right, Lord. And he started bringing back to some of the things that I thought I would never forget. It's amazing, isn't it? how easy we forget and how prone we are to forget. So he says, hey, I don't want you to forget what God has done. I don't want you to forget how blessed you are. And then he wants what? He says, hey, I want you to pass these things on to your kids. I want you to pass the baton on to your kids. And he said, I want you to tell them about me on the day that you receive the law. And that's something that's very, very, very important that I think we need to remember. And when I think of passing things on to my kids, and you know, that's something that's very dear to my heart. And in a way, I'm blessed that I've had kids in my 40s, because I'm not like I would have been in my 20s, because I remember what I was like in my 20s. In my 20s, I was a 20-year-old. Okay, that's what I was. But now, you know, in my 40s, the Lord chose to bless me with kids. You know, I'm different. I've got some life experience. I've been slapped around by life a bit. Okay. And so it's very important to me that my son and my daughter know the Lord. But it's also very important to me that I be authentic in front of my kids, that they would understand that, you know what, their dad's not perfect. And when their dad messes up, he owns it and he just moves forward. Okay. I'm going to ask you a question in thinking about passing things on. Who in this room would be as honest as David was about his sin with Bathsheba? Think about that for a minute. That's a bad situation. I mean, covering up, murder, I mean, the whole thing. You guys know that. But he wrote something in Psalm 32 publicly about that. Would we be that honest? Would we be that transparent with our kids? He said this. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in the flood of great waters, they shall come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I mean, think about that. Being that honest about a situation. Said, you know what? This is where my heart was at. And this is what happened. And this is what the Lord did. I think that's some of the greatest things we can pass on to our kids. Not just throw scripture in their face, but say, hey, this is what the Lord did. This is what the Lord did when I fell. This is what the Lord did when I succeeded. Wow, just look at what the Lord did, right? Gordon Maxwell, a missionary in India, said this. He asked a Hindu scholar to teach him the language. The Hindu man answered, I will not teach you the language. You will make me a Christian. Gordon answered, you misunderstand me. I am simply asking you to teach me the language. The Hindu man replied, no, I will not teach you. No man can live with you and not become a Christian. Okay? When we tell folks about Jesus, our words need to reflect our life. Proverbs 27:19, it's one of my favorites. As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. And that, man, as we're going to go through this and look at this stuff tonight, I think we're going to be blown away once more by Moses' transparency, being transparent, and just how faithful Moses is. Yeah, I mean, this guy, he's spending his last days imparting this stuff to this generation, okay? And he didn't let things get in the way. I mean, you can't help but just look at this and see there's an urgency going on with Moses. He's wanting to make sure this thing's passed firmly on to these guys. He's wanting these guys to succeed. I'm just blown away by his heart. So let's look at this. He goes on to talk about beware of idolatry, right? And to beware means to be wary or to be cautious or to be vigilant. And Moses said, take heed to yourself. Listen to what he says. Take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form of the Lord who spoke to you at Horeb in the midst of the fire. Lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is water beneath the earth. Take heed lest you lift your eyes to heaven. And when you see the sun and the moon and the stars and the host of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the peoples under the whole heaven as an inheritance. Okay, you know what idol worship can be summed up in? It can be summed up in these words which Moses said, make for yourselves. Make for yourselves. See, our lives are not about making for ourselves. God made man in His image, but idlers make God in their own image and thereby cheapen themselves in the process and insult God. Think about that just for a moment. Listen to this, Revelation 9:20. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by the plagues did not repent their works of their hands, that they should worship demons, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Listen to this. And I found this very interesting. I stumbled across it in some research. Buddha's eye tooth. A most sacred, a 2-inch discolored eye tooth is reverenced by 4 billion Buddhists as the most sacred object on the earth. The tooth is supposed to have been reclaimed from Buddha's funeral tomb in 543 BC and was brought to Ceylon 800 years later. Today the tooth sits upon a goddess lotus in the glorious temple of the tooth. Okay. In Camden, Ceylon. It is surrounded by rubies, tons of flowers. Each year, 100,000 faithful Buddhists come from many countries to gaze at the sacred tooth. They bring gifts of gold, silver, jewels to place within the temple. Is that not an insult to worshiping a yellow tooth? It's not even white, okay? It's not even white. It's yellow. To a God who can do this, He can speak. What's that tooth going to do? And as I was thinking about that, and as I read that, I, of course, I'm like you, I'm laughing. Okay, you know, are you serious? How many people you think, how many folks in America that may be Buddhists that go see this tooth, maxed out their credit card to go see that tooth? Think about that for a minute. To bring gold and junk to this tooth. I mean, have you seen pictures of or statues of Buddha? Have you not? It's kind of an overrated dude, right? You know? I mean, come on. But I think that, you know what? I think that's such a wonderful picture of how foolish it is to worship idols compared to a God, how insulting it is to a God who can speak. Deuteronomy 4:15, he says, take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form of the Lord, but He spoke to you at Horeb in the midst of the fire. But see, not only does this God speak, He is also one who creates. Because in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 23, God said this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by these things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And eventually, what does it say? God gave them over to it. Okay, that's what you want to go do. You go do that. And then what did that lead to? We don't even need to talk about that, do we? It led to perversion in some of the worst ways. You just read Romans. See, idol worship is an insult to God. God says to Israel, take careful heed. The Lord, okay, think about this. The Lord knows where they've been. They were in Egypt. Okay, when He starts naming all these different things, that's some of the stuff that was in Egypt. Did we ever stop to think the Lord knows where we've been? He knows. He knows our track record. He knows our inclinations to things. So He's warning them. He's saying, beware. Watch out. Because the Lord knows where they're going. They're going into the promised land. And those folks are worshiping idols too. Everybody is worshiping idols around them except for them. They're not to be worshiping idols because the Lord called them. Okay, the Lord called them. They saw the true and living God. They didn't see His form, but they saw His power. And they saw the magnitude of His... They saw the magnitude of His power. They saw how He sustained them. Okay? What an insult to do that, right? This tells me one thing about myself, is that my past can become my future again if I do not walk close with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:12 through 13 says this, "Therefore let he who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except as it's common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." The Lord knows where we've been. And some of those natural things that we just kind of dabbled in can creep back up on us if we are not careful. Wise men said this in Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 27. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left, and remove your foot from evil." Verse 20, listen to this. "But the Lord's taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be His people, an inheritance as you are this day." Think about it. Why would you want to turn to idol worship when the Lord delivered you from 400 years of slavery? You know what? The Lord looked at where they were living as an iron furnace. But the first generation's perspective was always, "Oh, if we could just go back to Egypt, they got onions, they got fish, they got this, they got that." The Lord's like, "Yeah, that's an iron furnace." I mean, just the thought of that. Just have you ever been really, 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 really hot? You've been really, really, really hot. Yeah, you have. Heat index about 120 down there. Or higher. You know? I would rather be cold than hot any day. You can always put more clothes on. See, our God delivers. Our God delivers. Well, you know what? Our old life before Christ was nothing more than an iron furnace. That's all it was. It was a rusty, old, hot, nasty iron furnace. Why would we ever want to go back there? 1 Thessalonians, man, He delivered us, 9 through 10. "For they themselves declaring us the manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." What an incredible blessing. Because there is a day when God's going to pour out His wrath on this planet. Praise God that if we are in Christ, we're out of here. Either we're going to graduate through death and go be with Christ, or He's going to come back and take us. What an incredible blessing, right? See, the God of our own making, did it ever deliver freedom? No, it did not deliver any freedom. It may have given the illusion of some type of freedom, but in reality, it was nothing more than bondage, was it not? Some folks think sometimes money is the thing that will solve all the problems. But I found most of the time, folks who have a great deal of money, it's never enough. They got to make more money. I mean, you just think about it. How much money does Bill Gates need? I mean, really. What about athletes who get paid millions of dollars to hit a ball, catch a ball, run with a ball, throw a ball, put a ball in a net, put a ball over a fence, put a ball... I mean, just think about it. And it's always... Do you realize what a football player made in the 60s? They worked two jobs. They worked two jobs. And what these guys make now? Some guys are getting guaranteed $18, $20 million. Guaranteed. Never even touched a football field. Think about that for a minute. How much money do you need? And always wanting a bigger contract. You know, most of those guys, unfortunately, end up going bankrupt. Where does it go? Well, when you've got, you know, a house in this state and a house in this state, and I mean, we could go on and on and on. What I'm getting at, it's nothing more than bondage. It's not freedom. In Christ, we have freedom. Moses blows me away. He's so transparent. He says, learn from my example. The dude is just straight up humble. He says this, furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes and swore I would not cross over the Jordan and that I would not enter the good land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not cross over the Jordan, but you shall cross over and possess the good land. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and you make for yourselves a carved image, a form of anything which your Lord God has forgiven them. He's so honest about his own failure. And when he's being honest about his own failure, he says, hey, guess what? Don't think this couldn't happen to you. That's what he's getting at when he's sharing that. I mean, you just think about this just for a moment. If you've been following and watching this dude for 40 years and seeing him, because it says he was the most humble dude on the planet, okay? He was the most humble dude on the planet at that time. And seeing how he's been going about taking care of his business, if this dude's not going to go over there, if he can say, the Lord says, no, you're not going, what does that say to me? I need to be taking care of my business. I need to be avoiding some things. I need to be obedient. See, that's what happens when we're honest about our failures. It's like, hey, look, these are the consequences of what happened, and don't think that that can't happen to you. Because isn't that what happens when people do things to somebody? They think it's never going to happen to them. But it can. And a lot of times it will. Some things are just a given, right? He's not perfect, but he's authentic. He's not do what I say, but don't do what I do. He's the real deal. Then finally, verse 24, he says this. Another reason why you need to be obedient and take care of your business and follow the Lord, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, and he's a jealous God. That's pretty scary. It scares us a little bit, but you know what? Let's look at it this way as well. God is a consuming fire, and we must take obedience, and we must take Him seriously. But also, here's something else to think about. You ever get tired of yourself? I'm just tired of me. You might get tired of me. Okay, I understand that. That's fine. But you know, I'm just tired of me. I've had enough of me. It's just me, 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 me. You know what the solution is? Draw near to the Lord. He's a consuming fire, and He'll consume that mess up in our lives. Ever think of that as well? Right? Romans 12, verse 1 through 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and the acceptable, perfect will of God. Things start to heat up. What do? We back off. Instead of allowing the Lord to finish His work. I had a friend of mine call. He's a youth minister, and he's almost pushing 30, but he's got like 3 kids. And he recently took a position at a church that was just starting. And things financially are really tough, and it's really tough on his family. And then the church I got saved in, the pastor there called him and says, hey, we really would like you to come here. No, this I've just been here a few months. Well, can I meet with you and pick your brain about youth ministry and buy you dinner? He's like, yeah. So he drives up there and takes he and his wife out. And he says, well, I got to be honest with you. I really just wanted to try to hire you. Okay, that right there to me is already suspect. That's manipulation. That's what that is. And manipulation's evil. It's evil. And then he proceeds to talk to him and this and that. And he said, well, are they taking care of you? How much are they paying you? and he starts dangling this carrot in his face. Dude's got three kids. He's got serious needs, right? And he's telling me all this, and I'm like, well, the first thing you need to do is get the carrot out of your face. Okay, if this is what the Lord has for you, that's different. But if your motivation is just to go down there because you're going to get a bigger paycheck, that's not good. Okay, and furthermore, if it were me, and that was done to me, I would already decide I'm not going to serve under this person. I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to put my family under that situation. But that's me. So what I'm encouraging you to do is fast and pray and see what the Lord wants you to do. And you got to think of this also as well. Maybe the reason why you're in a situation where you're struggling and it's a little tight is because the Lord's using these set of circumstances to do a unique work in you and your family. And so if you take the easy way out, then see, you're missing out on the blessing of the thing. Because I got news for you. You might find yourself in a worse situation. He's like, yeah, that's true. And it is true, isn't it? Man, let's let the Lord do what He wants to do. Let's draw near to Him. Let's let, you know, if we're tired of ourselves, the best thing to do is walk as close to the Lord as we can, right? Look at verse 25 through 31. See, when the Lord puts up a beware sign, we need to heed it. He knows what He's talking about. And not heeding a beware sign, there will be consequences. Well, what happens if we go to someone's backyard and we see beware of dog? Okay? Beware of dog. Now, some people just put that up there because they don't want you in their backyard and they don't want to get sued, which is pretty smart, right? But some people really have some animals we need to beware of. So let's say that we decide to not heed that sign, jump over the fence, and what is awaiting us is a 250-pound rock mauler. That's very mean and protective. Okay? Beware of dog. The Lord is saying beware of idolatry because, hey, I want you to understand something. You decide to jump over that fence, there will be consequences to these actions. And this is what He says. When you beget children and grandchildren and you've grown old in the land, okay, you've gotten comfortable in the situation, and act corruptly and make the carved image in the form of anything, and do evil in the sight of the Lord, your God, to provoke Him to anger, I'll call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but you'll be utterly destroyed, and the Lord will scatter you among the peoples. You will be left few in number among nations, where the Lord will drive you, okay? And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor smell. They can't even do that. But from where you will seek... Okay, we're going to stop right there. And you guys know what happened, right? If you've read through, you know what happened. The people of Israel did not heed His word, and the Jewish people would dive into idolatry. And in 56 B.C., God allowed the Babylonians to besiege and destroy Jerusalem, burn the temple, and carry them back to Babylon. And after 70 years, the Spirit began to stir in the hearts of a remnant of the Jews who would rebuild the city of Jerusalem and eventually the temple, right? But as time passed and radically the nation again turned its back on God, His Son, and cried, "Crucify Him, crucify Him, we have no king but Caesar." And consequently, 40 years later, AD 70, the Romans besieged the city, destroyed the temple, and killed 1 million Jews. Consequences. The Lord says, you know what? He finally got to a point. You want idol worship? Okay, here's what you can do. You can get all the idols you want in Babylon, and you can wear yourself out on your idols. That's what you can do. He kept His word. He gave a beware sign. He said, this is what would happen. And unfortunately, they did not heed it. Now, here's some good news. Look at verse 29 through 31. But from there, okay, in your horrible set of circumstances, you will seek the Lord your God. You will find Him if you seek Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, when you are in distress and all the things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and you obey His voice, for the Lord your God is merciful. He will not forsake you and nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of the fathers which He swore to him. Here's the good news. Jump back over on the other side of the fence as fast as you can. Don't sit there forever, right? And jumping over the fence is turning our heart back and seeking Him and calling on Him. Never forget this. You know, I don't know why we do this. I don't know why we do this. But you know what happens when we find ourselves in that situation sometimes? The enemy whispers this lie to us. God could give a rip about you because of what you have done. And we sometimes believe it. What's it say in Romans? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? The best thing we can do is run as fast as we can back to the Lord. Don't listen to a lie from the pit of hell. Because that's what the enemy does. He just lies, steals, and cheats, and destroys, right? God is so merciful. He's not like us. We make that mistake. That's what, and we get in our thinking, well, you know, God, He is so not like us. You know, I love my son, and I love my daughter. But you know what? I can be impatient, and I can be frustrated, and I can be all those things. I love them. I love them very much. But I'm a very imperfect father. You know what? I'm a sinner saved by grace, Dad. That's who I am. But God is so different from me as a dad. He's so patient. He's so merciful. Ephesians 2, verse 4 through 8, man, it says, "But God, who's so rich in mercy, because of His great love, which He loved us, even when you were dead in your trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show exceedingly the riches of His grace, His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift from God." See, the idea Moses is trying to convey to these guys in seeking the Lord is this: passionately seeking Him because we really want to love the Lord. Seeking God with the soul has the idea of seeking God with all of our mind and all of our will and emotions, entirely giving ourselves to the Lord. Now, how do we know when that's our heart? Well, look at verse 30. "When you are in distress and these latter things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey His voice," obedience. You just get to that point where you, "Lord, whatever you ask is what I will do." There's none of this. There's no more of that mess. Because when we find ourselves in a situation like Babylon and the Lord lets us wear ourselves out on the thing, and we finally get to the place where, "Okay, Lord, yes, whatever you want me to do in this thing." A missionary translator was endeavoring to find a word for obedience in this native language. This was a virtue seldom practiced among the people into whose language he wanted to translate the New Testament. Listen to this story. As he returned home from the village one day, he whistled for his dog, and it came running at full speed. And this is what the old native said, seeing this. He said admiringly in his native tongue, "Your dog is all ear." And immediately the missionary knew he had his word for obedience. "He's all ear. That's what you want me to do, Lord. Okay, I'm listening. I'm not just hearing this thing. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, right?" Look at 32 through 40. "Sum up why to serve idols and instead to serve the Lord." Okay, let's sum this up, Moses said. "For ask now concerning the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other whether any great thing like this has happened or anything like it has been heard. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of fire as you've heard and live? Or did God ever try to go and take for Himself a nation from the midst of other nations by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, by great terrors, according to all the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was shown that you might know the Lord Himself as a God. There is none besides Him out of heaven. Let you hear His voice, that He might instruct you on earth and show you His great fire. You heard His words out of the midst of the fire, because He loved your fathers. Therefore, He chose their descendants after them. He brought you out of Egypt with His presence, His mighty power, driving out before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in, to give you their land as an inheritance as this day. Therefore, know this day and consider it in your heart, that the Lord Himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. You shall therefore keep His statutes, His commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God has given you for all time. It's just sensible to serve the Lord. It makes sense. If He's revealed Himself to you, if He's spoken to you, it just makes sense to serve Him. Why not? If He's touched your heart, if He's touched your life, if He's revealed the magnitude of His grace and of His mercy, it just makes sense to serve Him. Why on earth would anybody who had been worshiping a yellow tooth before, after they experienced the Lord Jesus Christ, would even go back and look at this nasty yellow thing? It would be dumb. Is it not the same for us in Christ? We're reconciled in Christ. Colossians 1:19-22, it says this: For it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He's reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, above reproach in His sight. It just makes sense, if we've been saved, to serve the Lord. And serving the Lord is best seen in simply being faithful with what He asks us to do. No more, no less. That's it. It makes sense. Why not? Why not? What Moses is trying to convey to these guys. Just stop and think of what has happened in your life. Okay? Stop and think about it. Stop and think about it. Let's close tonight with a picture of faithfulness and a reminder how close and approachable the Lord is. Okay? Let's look at this just for a moment. Verse 41 and 43. And then Moses set apart three cities on the side of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun, that the manslayer might flee there, who kills his neighbor unintentionally without having hated him in the past, and by fleeing to one of the cities he might live: Beezer in the wilderness on the plateau of the Reubenites, Ramoth in Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan and the Manassehites. Here's one thing the Lord just blew me away with today. This picture of faithfulness. Moses. Remember, the Lord assigned six cities of refuge. There were going to be three on this side, on the east side, okay? And then on the west side, there was going to be three more in the promised land. Look at what Moses does here. It might not seem like much. It might not seem like much until we actually just kind of maybe let the Lord just kind of open our eyes and unstop our ears to what just transpired here. Okay? Moses did not let what he couldn't do get in the way of what he could do. See, he can't go in the promised land and set up those three cities, but what he can do is he can take care of business where he's serving right now. See, because here's what happens sometimes. The Lord says, oh, you can't do that. And then all of a sudden, you know what? I'm not going to do that. Forget it. Because if I can't do that, if I can't do what I want to go do and go, forget that. I'm not going to do that. Forget it. That's not Moses. Moses says, this is what I can do, and this is what I need to do, and this is what I'm going to do. Let's set up these three cities. See, he's not serving with an end game in mind. I'm going to be faithful right here so I can get this. No, I'm going to be faithful right here
because this is what God's asked me to do. This is what He's asked me to do. He didn't let... I'm thinking of just the human aspect of this whole thing here. Okay? Dude is... he's been all in this thing. He's all in this thing, right? And he's not going to get to go because of just one mistake, right? The dude never got bitter. He didn't get bitter. You can always tell when folks are getting bitter about something. Because you know why? Forget that. Forget that. Or I'm just going to go through the motions with that and not be all in it. Hebrews 12, verse 12 through 15. It says, therefore, strengthen hands which hang down and feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, so what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. He did what he could do. That blew me away. I mean, you're getting a picture of this guy's heart. And ultimately, guess what? He gets to go do. See? That's something to think about. Because you remember what these three cities represent for us? The cities of refuge. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our refuge, right? Well, eventually Moses is going to be on the Mount of Transfiguration, see? Took care of business. God blessed them. We forget that. Which brings us to this last picture. It's the picture that I pray we really leave with, right? It's how close our Lord is. He's not far off. Okay, He's accessible. Because remember the city of refuges, if you were to look at them, there were no rivers, there were no hills. They were located where it was easy to get to. Right? It was easy to get to. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a place of safety. There was no obstacles. The manslayer, he could go there. He could stay there. As long as the high priest was alive and he was okay there, the high priest going to die, then he could leave there, right? It's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? I would encourage you to go back to Numbers chapter 35 and look at that again. And I think it might warm hearts and stir hearts just to see that picture of our Lord Jesus. We're not going to go into it in depth. I just wanted to bring it to our memory. But tonight I want us to close with this verse. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 through 20. Okay, our Lord's so close. He's not far. He is so close. That by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, that we may have strong consolation who have fled for the refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. The hope we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure, steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. Wherever the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus have become the high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, our Lord Jesus Christ, our refuge, our anchor. So let's keep it simple. Let's keep it just super simple, okay? Let's just keep it about Jesus. And why not? Since Jesus has been so good to us, it just makes sense. Good sense. See, when our hearts are just fashioned on the fact of, you know what, this is about the Lord, this is about enjoying the Lord, this is about what the Lord has me doing, then we take care of business. We don't look at what we may not get to do. We just take care of what God's asked us to do, and we enjoy doing it because of who He is and what He's done for us. Golly, it's so easy to get distracted from the simplicity of that. Is it not? How many times have we had a devotion or we dive into our quiet time trying to get some information? I just want information. Instead of, Lord, I want you to impart your heart.
impart your heart to me, Lord. I want to experience you, Lord. I don't want to just get some stuff so my head can swell and I can just impress people, Lord. I just want your heart in this, Lord. Okay? I think that's the kind of guy Moses was. As we're looking at him in his last days and what he's communicating, what he's imparting to these guys. He's just a guy that loved the Lord. That's it. God used him in a magnificent way. And could he not do the same in our generation as well? If we would just get out of the way, right? If we would just get out of the way, right? If we would just get out of the way, right? If we would just get out of the way, right? If we would just get out of the way, right? If we would just get